For the creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. I am so excited to welcome back the award-winning director, photographer, author, and just an all-around really nice guy, TJ Scott. We're going to talk about his new things, Departure, Hudson and Rex, and Pretty Gritty. We're also going to talk about other stuff. We have a really fun discussion. Here's TJ. Hi, TJ. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, nice to be here. Thank you very much, Sherry.
How are you doing? It's been a while.
I'm doing really well. It has been a while. I think it's been like about almost a year since we talked.
Yeah, it's been over a year. Yeah. You must be doing all kinds of fun and exciting things.
Always. That's what I like to do. mostly, I've been doing a TV series called Departure. And I'm executive producing it and directing it, and it's 6 episodes a season, and that kind of consumes my time because I'm there from day one of the writer's room until all the way till we deliver the final finished copy to the network.
I love it. I've watched it. It's a great show. It's so amazing.
It really is. It's fun, and it's fun to do because it keeps changing, and it's people may not know what it is. But it's like a CSI type investigative team, but what they focus on is major traffic vehicle accidents. So, and it's one accident or one disappearance per season. So in the first season, an airplane disappears over the Atlantic, and our team has to figure out the whodunit of it. And then in the second season, which is out in the States and Europe, but not Canada yet, is a high-speed train. And the third season that we just finished filming 4 days ago is a ferry boat that capsizes on its way from Boston to Toronto, Boston to Newfoundland.
So it's sort of like, I forgot what they call the team from that when there's an airplane crash. An ATF, I think, or something like that. That go in there, they find out what happened, and all the, and they trace back the pieces of the whatever the plane is, whatever kind it is. So it's sort of like that.
That's exactly what it is. It's we kind of made up a fictional name for our investigative team, though we played as if it's, the real team, but it's we're the FTSA. And it's led by Archie Punjabi, is the lead of the show, and she's an Emmy award-winning actress from The Good Wife, is what people really know her from. But she's done a ton of stuff. She was great in Blindspot. She did all sorts of stuff. Anyway, she's a fantastic actress, and we're just like so happy to have her, and she just really carries the show. I know, it's The Fall. That was I was trying to think of the first thing I'd ever seen her in was a show called The Fall, and she was just so good in that. So she's our lead, and Chris Holden Reed plays opposite her, and Chris is kind of, he's been in a lot of shows too. He's kind of known for Lost Girl. Mm-hmm. He was the lead male in Lost Girl. Did you watch that?
Yes.
Yeah, so you know who he is,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know who he is, yes. Good actor.
And he's also been in Umbrella Academy. He plays a role there called Axel. Kind of a crazy role. He's sort of our second lead on it. And then Christopher Plummer was in for the first 2 seasons, and unfortunately, of course, he passed away. And so it was just so sad. I just love that man.
Magnificent actor. Worship him. He's amazing. Was amazing.
So I had the first season, he was in it a lot. You know, he shot with us for 15 days and out of the season. And then the second season, we really wanted him, but it was COVID. And, you know, he had just turned 90 years old, and he lives in the States, and we were filming in Canada, and the borders weren't easy to cross. And so we wrote all of his scenes to play on the telephone. And I went down, when we finished filming season two, I drove down to Connecticut to his house, and he lived on a big estate. It was fall. It was just beautiful colors on his property. And I shot all of his scenes for the show with a crew of about six people. And it was just the best way to do it, at his house, and it worked out great. We shot it. The poor man had to read with me as the off-camera actor. And we were about to shoot the final scene, and the light was just beautiful. And I went, oh, guys, if we shoot right now, we'd have to light this. Look at this. But the clouds are coming in. And Mr. Plummer was like, oh, well, the light's perfect. Let's shoot. And we could not find his prop phone. He's got a big property, and we'd left it somewhere. And he said, TJ, just give me your phone. The phone's a phone. So he did this scene, and in the scene, he talks about what's important when you pass away and what you leave behind. And it's really just the people you know, and the connections, and you leave everything else behind. And that was his final scene, and he handed me back the phone. And so when you see the show, he's like literally using my phone. And then 3 months later, he passed away.
Wow, that's so touching.
So it was like such an honor to shoot the final scene he ever did.
Wow. And I also think it's amazing what it was about, considering what happened later, you know.
And there's a screen grab on my Instagram account of exactly from the scene with him, and it looks like the most magical, heavenly shot that we just happened to set up. So it was very, very fitting as his final shot.
Oh, how beautiful. It must have been so cool working with him for two seasons.
Yeah. He's just like such a love sponge too, you know, at this point in his career, like a real prince. And he's the one guy, I could never call him Christopher. I would say, oh, Mr. Plummer, we're going to do the scene now. He goes, TJ, call me Christopher. And I go, okay, Mr. Plummer. Yes, I will. And then,
I bet you drove him a little bananas, TJ.
We one of the phone scenes that we shot was in his own personal office with him at the desk. And I've got the camera set up, and I'm bumping into all these awards, and I look, and right behind, you know, I'm pushing the camera back as far as it can go. There's an Academy Award pushing into my back.
Oh God!
This is kind of cool. This is fun. This is a good thing to work around. I mean, it was just like tons and tons of awards that he had won.
I could just hear him. Don't break my Oscar.
He was so relaxed about us being in his house. It was quite amazing. And his wife, Elaine, is just so gracious. Just a dynamic couple.
I think it must have been really cool for him to do that. I've read that a lot of actors, like, bring their stuff from home for scenes. So that you were shooting in his home, it must have made him much more comfortable.
He seemed to really like it, you know, a tiny little crew. You know, there were six of us. I think there was only four of us that went in the house to shoot it, which is so bizarre that because we shoot a TV series with a minimum of 60 to 100 people every day. So going in to shoot with four people, you go, what do all the other people do? No, I actually know what they do, but it just was fun to shoot with such a small crew.
Yeah. I've seen his home in interviews. It's really beautiful.
It is. And it used to be, part of it was like a big barn attached to a house, and then he joined it together, and then he put another wing on, and it's on a most beautiful property. I think he said it was 50 acres. A just beautiful land. Quite an estate.
Oh, I want to see. I can't wait to see that last scene. Because I haven't seen the end of the second season yet. I'm about halfway through.
Well, it's right at the end of the second season, so just to get you through, we had to do that.
Gotta push myself to watch all of it now. No, it's a really great show. I haven't watching much television. I've been working on my own stuff, so I've been trying to watch stuff when I can. But I love the first season. I'm halfway through the second. I'm enjoying it. It's a really
Excellent.
good show. Excellent.
And third season is really dynamic too. I mean, we just finished shooting it, and everything came together. Just shooting on a big ferry in Newfoundland, which is a glorious place to shoot. And we've shot Toronto too, but Newfoundland's kind of where it's set. And so season three is going to be great, but it might be another year until you see it.
Yeah, I know. It's just like I like several Canadian shows. One of the ones I like is Frankie Drake Mysteries. We have to wait a year before we get to see any of them. All the people from Canada are watching it, and
Well, oddly enough, we shoot our home for all three seasons is the studio we shared with Frankie Drake.
Really?
Yeah. So we're always in the Frankie Drake studios the whole time. And Lauren Lee Smith, who plays Frankie Drake, is a guest star in season three.
Oh, I love
Yeah.
her.
Yeah. She's great. I just love her. I cast her in Mutant X, and I couldn't figure out how long ago it was. And I said, you must have been like in your mid-20s when we started that show. And she said, I was 19.
Oh.
And I did a couple of seasons of that with her. So she's just so good.
Yeah, she's re I love that show. I love a show with four strong, intelligent women that love each other and work well together. They don't do that very much, and it's just really cool to see it.
It is, and it's we're the same production company that I'm working for called Shaftesbury, and Christina Jennings is the head of that company, and she really likes that type of project. And Departure is a lot of strong female characters too, like most of the leads and the guest stars are female.
Yeah,
So.
I've noticed that. I love that. I think it's so important that all different types of people and so people can work together. It doesn't matter what your background or who you are is. That's so important. That's one of the reasons I love your shows, because everybody has a different background and they all work together well and they love each other. I mean, there's fights and stuff, but that's normal drama. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always like doing. I really gravitate towards shows that have a strong female lead. Over the years, just I really like working with women actors. Rather than just guys all the time. So, yeah, I guess I do. I kind of choose those shows. Interesting.
Well, that's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, I was introduced to your work through, I know you don't want to hear it,
Yes, Xena. No, I love Xena. So, I really had so much fun shooting that show, and it was so cutting edge and different for the time. And Lucy was so great. But that was kind of the beginning of starting to work on strong female roles because there weren't a lot of them before that. And she came and kicked ass, and everyone went, wow, we need more of those. So, there we go.
Yep.
I was just going to say, so if people haven't seen Departure, it's on Peacock, NBC Peacock, which is their streaming. You can watch it there. And then Canada, it's on Global. And in most of Europe, Sky Television just aired season two. So.
And you know what I like about Peacock? It's on TV. So you don't you even though it's streaming, it's on TV, so you can watch it on your television.
Yeah.
I actually I don't have that big an issue, but I like watching shows on my TV, and I have a big screen thin TV. I like seeing shows on my TV. I have a smaller laptop. It's hard for me to adjust.
Yeah, you can plug them into each other, but I know what you mean. It's so much easier just turn on the TV and hit the button, and there it is.
Yeah, I know. It just And I mean, I have nothing against the streamers. They're good, and all the shows, all the different shows from all the different things are fine. But I just enjoy sitting back, hitting my button, and watching it on television. It's my age.
Gotta get a smarter TV that streams everything, because most of them now will hook up to your computer pretty easily.
It's not the TV, it is the cable service. They don't...
That would do it, yeah.
Yeah, because there's two ones I really love, Acorn and BritBox, and my cable service does not have them.
Oh, interesting.
So that's why. It has nothing to do with the... Discovery Plus, we could do that, and HBO, we could do it, and Peacock, we could do it, but... Those two channels, they don't, and I watch that a lot.
Acorn is primarily British
and Australian.
That's right.
British and Australian.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because I think they, if I have this right, they started out being a British company, and then they expanded into Australia, and then AMC bought them last year, or a percentage of them. So now they're actually an AMC-owned network.
Yeah, but I still can't watch it on television. It's still, my cable service won't do it.
Oh, interesting.
Which I find very rude.
Well, if I do a show on Acorn, I'll figure something out for you.
Okay. And BritBox is the other one I can't get. And that's all British.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. I'm an Anglophile, I guess, because I love British mysteries and British comedies.
They do them so well.
Yeah.
And they tend to get really, really good actors, because here's part of the reason. They actually don't pay that well in England to actors, so they have to keep working all the time. So the ones that are really good can't be that picky, because they don't know when their next job's coming or what it'll get paid for. So this is what I was told. So they take a lot of jobs, and they'll come onto a show even if they're going to have just a small guest role, even if they're a rather large star. So that's why you get all these great actors, is unfortunately they don't pay them enough.
I know. Yeah, that's true. I mean, and there was a show called Vicious with Ian McKellen and Derek Jacobi. It had practically every British actor on that show.
Oh, that's a good cast just to start with.
Yeah, it was a great show. It was so funny. I used to love American sitcoms, but they're just not as much fun as British sitcoms. They kind of lost their fun.
Not really my world, so I don't know.
I know. But just my little side comment. Anyway, so. What have you been... I know that you've been writing, so what are you working on? Anything you can tell us about?
I think I can say it, so it'll be out in the trades shortly, but, the deal's done. I sold a script that I had written years ago, and it's actually been sold a number of times, Vivaldi, which is the...
The composer.
The composer priest. And it's his life story, and... When I first wrote it, we sold it to Sony Pictures, and Brian Grazer was going to produce it, and then Ron Howard was going to direct, then it kept changing and changing and changing. Anyways, cut to this many years later, John Ottman, who was the editor on every Bryan Singer movie, but on Bohemian Rhapsody, which he won the Academy Award for, that movie did so well for New Regency, and they won all these awards and were nominated, that they said to him, hey, we appreciate what you do. We know you're actually a really good director. Why don't you bring us a project you want to direct, and we'll set it up for you. And he read a ton of scripts, and then... The interesting thing about John is he's not only the editor on every Bryan Singer movie, like the X-Men and Usual Suspects, he's also the composer.
Wow.
I do not think there's another combo of editor-composer on that level of movie ever.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
So someone who knew, he was a composer, loved music, said, hey, I read this script, Vivaldi, about the combo, and they handed it to him, and of course... totally in his wheelhouse, and so he took it to New Regency, and they bought it, and we've been rewriting it, and we don't know when it would go, but it's been great rewriting it and really fun rewriting it with John Ottman's notes on it, because he's very bright and really knows what he wants and musical. So I've been redrafting it with my writing partner, Kevin Lund, and very, very excited about it. Very excited.
I was introduced to Vivaldi from a movie. I had never heard of it, but there was this movie called Four Seasons by Alan Alda, and I just fell in love with the music. I got the record, I got the CD, you know, record when we actually had LPs. I carried all my Vivaldi wherever I go for my music, because it's so beautiful, and it touches every mood. It's just the perfect music.
And he has, a crazy life story to go along with all that, so.
Really? What? Can you give us a little hint? I mean, not give the whole thing away, but, I mean, he is a famous composer, so.
My super quick pitch here. So, Vivaldi was born in around 1650 in Venice, Italy, in the middle of an earthquake, and he was dying, and he was very sickly, and his mother held him up and said, you know, if you let him live, I'll promise him to you. Well, of course, he lived, and he was just instantly a great composer. His father was a musician, and he was just like a boy prodigy. He would play for princes and princesses and royal families and stuff when he was in his teens, and then his mother's like, well, you know, I promised you the church, so you got to go be a priest. Well, you know, he wasn't, you know, he's a normal guy, likes women and stuff, but like, oh, geez, okay, I got to go do this. Well, there was a guy who was a patriarch, which is part of the church, you know, he's a governor of a whole area of the church in Italy at the time, who saw that Vivaldi had this talent, and when he came out of the seminary, he said, well, okay, I think I know what to do with you. I'm going to put you in charge of an ospedella, which is where they had young women who were orphans, and this particular one had 1,000 women, and the way that they would raise money to keep them going was through their concerts, and then it was also how the women would get married. They would put on a performance, and guys would go, wow, she's beautiful, before Tinder or whatever, you go there and see these women and go, I'd like to marry her. So he puts Vivaldi in there, and, you know, he's a heterosexual guy, but a priest, and he falls in love with this soprano, and these two were together forever, but always in trouble. You know, they were always so close to each other, the church would pull them apart, and Vivaldi would come in with more money and save himself. And then, you know, they'd get in trouble again, and more money would come in. But all during this, there's a contemporary of Vivaldi's that wanted to take him down and take church back to be, you know, back to very religious and dogmatic and not as liberal as Venice had it at the time. And he eventually rises up to the power of being the patriarch when the patriarch dies. And he finally says, you got to choose the woman. If you choose the woman, then you're excommunicated. So choose your music or the woman. And he chose the woman. And he was excommunicated. And his music was taken and entombed for 200 years. For 200 years, nobody ever heard Vivaldi. And then it was rediscovered again, starting where it had been entombed in Italy, in monasteries, around 1927. And so nobody had heard it for 200 years, and in 1999, The Four Seasons was the most recorded song, classical song ever.
Yeah.
So that's the story.
That's amazing. So Alan Alda had something to do with reviving Vivaldi that had been entombed by this mean old guy. That's kind of cool.
It's a real love story, you know, because they gave up everything. They gave up fame, they gave up fortune. Vivaldi was, when he died, Anna, who was the woman he was, you know, in love with, Her and only five other people were at the funeral, and Vivaldi wasn't allowed to be born in a cemetery, you know, that was Catholic because he'd been excommunicated. And here's this guy who was so famous in his day and then dropped right down to nothing, but then has risen back.
Who discovered him in the 20s? Do you know? Was it an archaeologist or?
It's the music started to be discovered in these monasteries that were falling apart, and they kind of found them in these hidden rooms. And I'm not exactly sure who, you know, there isn't particularly one person. Of course, in our movie, we kind of fictionalized a person that is semi-accurate, probably. And then it's still coming out. They still have new Vivaldi pieces that are being discovered because they took it and hid it so well. So almost every year, something new comes out.
That's amazing. What an amazing story. I can't wait to see it when it comes out.
Me too. We're just hoping that Venice can stay not flooded from global warming that long.
Yeah, that is an issue.
Only saying that because I was looking up the cities that could go underwater if global warming continues. Venice, of course, is one of them.
Well, Venice has been having problems for years, but this is just making it worse.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I've been writing. I've got some other projects that I'm writing, but you know they're not that close to getting made yet. But I'm writing a creature feature with two of my friends. I'm loving that. I love creature features like Alien and Predator and Jaws.
Is it still in the baby stages?
Yeah, we're still writing it. I hope I can shoot it next year, but and writing some TV series stuff too. But I'll tell you about them if they get picked up and go. Because in this business, you can die waiting.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that. I've heard that you get really, really close, and then gets it finances blow or something gets messed up.
My longtime editor used to say it's the only business where you can die of encouragement.
That's really good. That's a good line. You should use that in one of your movies or TV shows. And you have another thing that you're working on, that TV series, or I think, is it a TV series?
I have a web series.
Web series, that's it.
The web series is super fun. We have to get back to it because it was kind of one of these projects that was done in essentially spare time. But I had two friends come to me and say, hey, we would love to do a story that sort of has lesbian love story themes to it, and but done like beautifully with really strong characters. So we created a show called Pretty Gritty. And it stars my two friends, Nicolette Noble and Stephanie Moore. And the part of the cool thing that we decided to do with the show was we shot it all around the world and with a crew of one. So I'm essentially the crew, the whole crew. But it's the most cinematic show I've probably ever shot. And we just figured out how to shoot with nobody. Nicolette would help me, Stephanie would help me, sometimes light stuff. But we shot in Los Angeles, Joshua Tree, New York City, Florida. We shot underwater stuff in Florida for episode that, the springs there. But and then we shot in Iceland, Toronto, Newfoundland, Tokyo, Osaka.
Wow. That's pretty diverse group of areas, too. So that must have been really cool, too.
So cool. And then each episode originally was going to be like an anthology, and each one was its own little story. And then we found a way to meld them all together so that it's one continuing story. But it was really fun because we're if you're shooting with a crew of one, you can get away with incredible things. Like in Tokyo, we would be shooting on high-speed trains and nobody would bat an eye that we were there. And then we would go to, you know, a restaurant that was at the, you know, very expensive restaurant. And after everyone had cleared out for lunch, they would just let us film, keep shooting. And shot on fishing boats in Newfoundland. We shot New York City and Times Square. We shot in the busiest intersection, in the pedestrian intersection in the world, in Tokyo. It's called Shibuya, on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
So it was just a fun logistics thing to go, okay, we're going to these places, we're going in sight unseen, we're kind of writing the script as we go because we don't know exactly what we're going to land at. And then even in Iceland, we shot all through Iceland, just getting up at 4 a.m. and landing at famous places, but beating all the tourists there and shooting at waterfalls with no one around. Super, super cinematic. Anyway, I'm very excited about it. We just need to finish it.
So when do you know when the web series will start?
I don't know. I think it's going to be a little bit of a while. We came back and Nicolette Noble, who's was my writing partner and producing partner on that, ended up writing and selling a really big movie to Netflix. And then she did a huge sale to Miramax. I think they were probably the two biggest spec sale scripts of this year in Hollywood. So all of a sudden she was out of the picture, being very busy, but and which I was like, great, this, like the best reason ever not to be available to finish filming and doing post on this. So once her schedule slows down and mine does, we'll get back to it.
So let's hope that she is super successful, but she has a little tiny period that she could work on it.
It'll circle back. We just, it's in the can. We've got a tiny bit more to shoot, and then I think it'll be one of the coolest things. I think it's the coolest thing I ever shot. It
That's cool.
By far the coolest thing I ever shot.
That's lovely. And
it was fun for me because I was, you know, the writer, director, producer, cameraman, grip, gaffer, sound guy, everything.
Did you get coffee, TJ?
I did. The actresses had to do with their own hair and makeup in the morning, so I ran out to get the coffee for them.
Well, that's okay. That's cool.
It's very musical, too. Everything's kind of, there's not dialogue, there's not very much dialogue in it, so when the soundtrack comes out, it's going to be an awesome soundtrack. We've got, like, all of our musical friends contributing music to it. We're going to build a really cool website for people to find the music, too, so...
Oh, that's cool.
Pretty gritty. You can. There's a little bit of an IMDb, but there's also, if you go to Instagram and just, I think it's just Pretty Gritty or Pretty Gritty TV on Instagram, and you can see stills from it. So you'll see it's super cinematic, and you can see where we were all around the world.
Cool. All right, everybody, check that out on his Instagram. We're gonna shut down Instagram.
Oh, I just looked it up. Yes, it's just at Pretty Gritty TV on Instagram.
Okay. And you also have one more thing that you're doing that sounds really cute.
What else am I doing?
With the puppy?
Oh, well, yes. There's a TV series called Hudson and Rex. And Hudson and Rex is a cop show, and Hudson is the cop, the guy cop, and Rex is the dog, who's a German Shepherd. And it's based on a series that I think used to be German. And then they turned it into a series that shoots in Newfoundland and Canada. And it's really fun. And it's got great family values, but if you're not even thinking about that, it's great fun to watch. The dog is just so interesting to watch. And learning how to film a dog was kind of cool. That... you know, the trainer is so important, and they're doing off-camera things, getting the dog to look here and there and bark and put its hands up. And one of my episodes, the dog had to go from a dock, jump onto a boat, and they didn't have time to practice it because the boat wasn't there. So we watched her for about 15 minutes train this dog, who at first was a little shy of it. All of a sudden, now it's jumping on the boat, going to its mark, standing on its mark. Oh, unbelievable.
That's really cool. I've heard that's kind of interesting for the actors, because if the dog gets it perfectly and the actor blows the line, everybody gets mad at the actor.
Well, what you also find out, though, is that they have to do commands and talk to the dog all the way through your scenes. So you can be talking your dialogue, and they're like, sit, stay, back, up, and you're trying to do your line. And the guest stars come on, and they're like, what the hell? But the actors that have been there for a while just kind of blow through it. They're so used to it now.
So do they interrupt? They interrupt the dialogue all the time, or is it like the dialogue?
Oh, they don't care if you're talking. The dog's the star. So you ADR it, or you get it in your close-up, you know, you get a chance at it. But in a wide shot, they're talking to the dog through the whole take.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. That would be a little confusing.
Yeah. but it's a fun show. Definitely check that out. It's really cool.
What color German Shepherd is it? I mean, is it brown and black, or is it...
big. It's a big one.
It's a big German Shepherd. Okay.
It looks like a really traditional German Shepherd, but it is big. I mean, this is a big dog. Still, you have to think, too, though, actually, how to do close-ups, because, you know, the dog's still, you know, at the waist level of the actor. So that's always interesting. Check it out. I don't know where it shows, but you'll be able to find it somewhere.
I definitely want to. I love shows with animals. I just think they're so much fun. Do you know what the name of the actor is that plays Hudson?
I do. Johnny. I'm just trying to think of Johnny's last name. Why can't I think of Johnny's name?
I don't know. I think it's the same problem I have.
What's that? It's,
the same problem I have. It's just sometimes
old age.
Yeah, it just slips right out of your mind.
John Reardon. Yeah.
Okay. I just, you know, because it'll make it easier to find it where it's playing if we know the lead actor.
Yeah. And it's Hudson, like the river, and then Rex, R-E-X, like a dog would spell it. If a dog was going to spell its name.
I didn't know dogs spell. Wow, this dog is really talented.
Oh, this one does. This one can do anything.
Okay. And, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've got one other fun little project I'm doing, but which we're going to film, but I bought this place with my friends in Curacao, the island of Curacao, which is one of the Dutch Antilles islands, just off of Venezuela, and it's a house built in 1870s that's completely fallen apart to rubble. And the Dutch and Curacao governments are putting together some funding to help people rebuild these houses from rubble to the majestic thing that they were when they were first built. So we bought one of these, and we're going to embark on rebuilding a mammoth house from rubble. And I'm going to film it as we do it.
Wow. That's an interesting project.
Mm-hmm.
How many people?
Well, there's three partners on it, but it's 9,000 square feet, the house, with 9 bedrooms, and a great hall in it that's 4,000 square feet. And then it's on 3/4 acre right downtown in Willemstad, Curacao. And you should just look up Curacao. It's the craziest looking island ever. It's every building is so bright and beautiful, and it has this Dutch-Spanish influence. It looks like no other place in the world. And the whole town of Willemstad is now a UNESCO heritage site. And then this house that we're rebuilding is a UNESCO heritage house, as well as being a Dutch monument house, because it used to be the Democratic Party's headquarters. So that's my crazy project, and we're going to film the building of it, see what happens.
That's interesting. It sounds like it's going to be dramatic, because anytime you have a project building something, it's very dramatic.
And this is rubble. Like, we just call it the Rubble House Project right now. But I have to keep all the existing walls to be part of the funding. So to me, that's a really, because I kind of have an architectural mind, this is like a project I'm kind of really biting into. I'm very excited about it.
Sounds cool. Do you already like have the plans for what you're going to do, or is it part of the filming is the design and stuff?
I've kind of already done a 3D rendering of it. We had the original blueprints, and we're keeping the exterior walls exactly as they were, and then doing some slight shifts on the inside, but that's what I have to go down to Curacao and talk to the historical board about how much I can change the inside. But the exterior, other than we're putting in a swimming pool, will look exactly as it did. And then the venue, we're hoping, will be a venue for weddings and concerts and retreats, because it's 9 bedrooms and we're building a huge room that a woman can have her whole bridal party, get her ready. And the room that's 4,000 square feet has 30-foot ceilings. And the bridal suite has a balcony that opens up onto that.
Wow.
20 feet up in the air. So.
Wow.
So that's the goal.
It sounds like it could be really magical. I mean, I wish you a lot of luck. That's a lot of work.
Either be that or I'll go broke doing this.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. I hope it turns out magical.
I think it will. It's kind of a Great Gatsby-sized house. So, yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to... do you have any plans for the holiday? Or, I mean, I know you're here in California.
Yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving is fine. It's a Canadian holiday, and everybody always goes, you know, just thinks it's an American holiday, but we have it in Canada, too. But in Canada, we do it 5 weeks earlier. We do it in October. Maybe it's 5 weeks. Yeah, a month. Which seems to me a better time to do it, because it doesn't step on Christmas as much as and the Christmas-type holidays as much as the American. It's kind of like here, it's like the holiday season. So I'm going to my friend's house for Thanksgiving, and then I love this time because then I can just go right back to writing and work, and the phone doesn't ring for a while. Catch up on things.
That's good. That's really good. I know. Hanukkah is on the 28th, but Hanukkah can be earlier than Thanksgiving, so it's always weird.
Yeah, there's too many things at once. We could start a petition to move it.
Move it back.
Not sure how well that's going to go.
Well, yeah, because then it'll interfere with all the craziness for Halloween. You know, people go so nuts over Halloween.
yeah. what are you doing?
It's just me and my brother just having my brother's a chef, so he's creating the dinner and all that, so.
The one thing that came out of, the only good thing for me that came out of COVID was I really got into cooking. So it became one of these things where I always knew how to cook, but with restaurants closed and stuff, all of a sudden I was cooking, and then I kind of, it was kind of 6 friends of us that kind of bubbled for a while when restaurants weren't open, and one was a vegan, one's a pescatarian, one doesn't like fish, one loves meat, and so and I don't eat dairy. So I had to learn how to cook six different meals at mealtime quite often. So chefing became this fun thing. Well, I wouldn't say chefing, but just cooking became such a fun thing for me, out of the blue.
I'm more of a baker. I can bake. I'm not a really good cook, but
Well, that's
I can do cookies and stuff like that.
way harder to bake than to cook, I think.
Well, not according to my brother. He's like, no, you got the easy part.
Oh, see, I think it's harder because you have to follow a recipe, and I'm not good at having people tell me what to do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and it's always so funny because sometimes he uses my mom's recipes, and I mention it. He goes, "No, it's mine." I go, "No, it's mom's. I recognize
Ah,
it."
well, that's
He goes, "Oh, all right. So it's both of ours." I go, "Okay, I can accept that."
Do you have any favorite shows you've been watching?
Well, I mentioned Frankie Drake, but I've been watching Miss Fisher, Modern Murder Mysteries. I've been watching My Life is Murder, which has two of your favorite people in one episode, Lucy Lawless and Renee O'Connor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was really interesting because apparently Lucy moved night and day in order to get Renee from Texas to New Zealand.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that was one of the shows I watched. But I was watching My Life is Murder last season when it was in Australia. So it was not a big deal, but there were people who had never heard of it, who heard about the Lucy Renee episode, who are now watching the whole show.
Oh, so cool. Oh, I haven't seen them in a while, so.
Yeah, that was really, it was a good episode. It was the last episode of the season, so everybody was waiting for it, but then they got all hooked into the show, so that was good.
Awesome. I'm going to check that out for sure.
Lucy's like Columbo.
Really?
That's how she describes it.
Oh, and she's the lead in it all
She's
the time?
it's her show. Yeah, it's her show.
Oh, jeez. Look at me. I'm behind.
Yeah, she's a ex-detective who's now a private detective who consults with the police department to solve murders.
Well, cool. That's fun. I'm going to check
And
out.
it has all these little different worlds that they peek into. You know, like cooking or bicycling or this season was winery, and there was a I can't, I'm sorry, my age. There was all kinds of interesting shows. Definitely worth watching.
Cool. I am going to check that out. My Life is Murder.
My Life is Murder. It's a fun show.
Of course. Awesome.
And that's basically what I've been doing. Those were the shows I was. No, those were the shows I've been watching most.
Okay, well, that's good. I'll check them out.
And I watched Departure.
Excellent.
And
Yes, everyone watch it. We're hoping for a fourth season.
Christopher was wonderful in the first season, and he's wonderful in the half of the second season I watched.
Oh, I think you're gonna love that last scene he does. It's just so touching.
I want to see that so bad now that you told me. I'm almost wanting to like go to the end, but that's not right.
Gotta earn it.
Yep, gotta earn it. Anyway, thank you so much for taking time out from your writing to chat with me. I really appreciate it so much, TJ.
So nice chatting with you, Sherry. We'll do it again soon.
Okay. Oh, do you have a website?
TJ Scott Pictures is mine.
Okay.
It's mostly stuff I've done. I don't know if you go there, but and then on my Instagram, I think it's TJ Scott Pictures. I don't post a lot on Instagram, but I'm there.
Yeah, and it has the and the also the
Pretty
Pretty
gritty.
Gritty one is there too.
Pretty gritty. Look up at Pretty Gritty TV. You'll like what it looks like, I think. It's pretty cinematic. We're gonna put up more stuff soon.
Cool. And I can't wait to see your new stuff, especially Vivaldi. I can't wait to see that.
Fingers crossed. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Thanks.